This is a repeat program.
Heard previously on WISL 1040.
Gather round, parents, players, coaches, and more. Grab your VIP seating. It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice, provides great training tips, and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12, and by Extreme Sight Performance Clinic. Gain the competitive edge with performance vision, and by Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center. Learn to play like the pros from the pros. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
Welcome to Youth Sports Now. My name is Greg Camp. I am your host and hopefully educator for the next 60 minutes. If you are a first-time listener, our show is dedicated to the passion, the excitement, and more important, the well-being of youth athletes everywhere. We discuss the topics and issues that parents, coaches, administrators, and athletes face while involved in youth sports from peewee through college athletics. A couple of reminders for you. Our website is youthsportsnowradio.com. Lots of great information and tips and information for parents and coaches and athletes. Our Twitter account is at youthsportsnow1. So please give us a follow on the Twitter account. And Facebook is Youth Sports Now Radio Show, and you can find us on Facebook, like us, and you may have a chance to win a book by Dr. Robert Cantu, who was a guest a few weeks ago, the concussion expert from the NFL. A quick reminder for all those new listeners, Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training, give them a call, and you can, in fact, get a free video analysis of your player's swing, softball and baseball. So definitely please check out Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Clinics. As our program transitions from its infancy, this is our fourth show, into maybe what we would call our toddler years, we've already had wonderful guests and national experts on youth sports, but today's show is one that I'm very excited about and I hope will be archived and podcasted for many years to come, because today we hear from the real experts, the youth who play the sports, the athletes who live the realities of their sports with their parents, their coaches, and their teammates. Today, some of our best and our brightest are with us. We have Ryan Wynn, a freshman and varsity hockey player and baseball player at Webster Schrader. We also have junior Megan Browning. You may have heard of Megan. She was the winning goalie in a Cinderella game and a Cinderella season for the Penfield Patriots hockey team, and Megan also plays softball. And we also have Christine Lytle, a senior athlete representing Canandaigua Academy as a cheerleader and a track star, and is going to be attending the University of Buffalo next year. So first of all, everybody, welcome to the show. Why don't we start off by finding out when, in fact, you started playing sports and specifically the sport of your choice. How young were you? Christine, let's start with you.
I guess it was around age 10 when I started the Castle Soccer Youth League. I think that's where a lot of my a lot of athletes start there. So that went well for a couple years, kind of dropped it when I got towards middle school. We had a lot of moms and dad coaches there, but that was great. That was a lot of fun. So,
and when did you start to actually get into track?
Track was started in middle school. Track and cheerleading, when you enter seventh grade, that's when you can start modified sports. So.
Okay, Megan, what about you? You've got hockey and softball. When did you start? I won't embarrass you by saying anything about knowing you when you played baseball when you were very young. So when did you start finding that you wanted to play hockey and baseball or softball?
I've been playing for as long as I can remember, probably when I started walking, you know, around 3 or 4. And it was just one of those things where you started out, like everybody starts out playing Little League Baseball and just never really stopped there, and hockey. Went to learn how to skate, kill some time, and just ended up liking it. Never really ended up stopping.
Ryan, what about you? What take your pick, whether it's hockey or whether it's baseball. When did you start, and when did you really make that decision?
I started real young, like skating-wise. I didn't play on a youth team, though, until I was like 5 or 6 for hockey. And for baseball, you know, I played on rec teams, but then I really started to like baseball when I played Little League. I started when I was 8 and never really stopped there for either.
Great. Well, Christine, what motivates you as a track star, a track athlete? What gets you going before a big meet? Why do you do it?
I think a lot of track, at least, it's a very individual sport. You know, I don't have a team. It's less of a team atmosphere feeling running track. So it's definitely a lot of inner self kind of thing, you know, talking to myself, getting myself all ready to run. So I think it's a lot of my own talking to, I guess.
So talk to me about the fact that when you do, you're a cheerleader also, correct? So you're a cheerleader, which is a team type of, right, of environment, and then you go to track. Do you like one better than the other, and do you find any difference between that team approach and then the individual motivation?
I do. Yeah, I I love cheerleading. I enjoy it because of the team atmosphere, and I don't get that from track, which is my main sport. So I do like that aspect of it, but it's very similar in the fact that you get one chance. You know, when you're in a cheerleading competition, you have like 3 minutes to put your routine out on the floor, and that's it. In a race, you only have one race, and that's it. So I like that kind of pressure.
Great. Ryan, you've been around youth sports. Tell me some of the things in your young career that you've liked and that you haven't liked when it comes to just youth sports in general. What are some of those things?
I really didn't like when sometimes parent coaches would kind of get in the way a little bit when, you know, they try to do like a little bit too much. I liked it better when there was a non-parent coach. But I don't know. I loved, you know, bonding with teammates, bonding with friends in youth sports is great. You know, that's pretty much it.
Megan, what do you think in your career is the biggest difference making the transition from the youth sports, say the little leagues or the Pee Wee hockey or whatever, to high school sports? And you know, you had your chance to be, and you were the starting goalie for Penfield in the Cinderella game and season. What's the biggest difference?
The biggest thing, I think, is realizing that you're really there and you can't make the mistakes. It's not just fooling around anymore. It's not really a little league game where you can go out and it's just for fun. In high school and older level sports, then it's for fun too, but you have to realize that you have to be serious about it and just do your best no matter what.
So, Megan, what do you want to do? I mean, you've got your junior year is almost over at Penfield High School. What's your goal for your senior year, but also what are your plans for college, and is hockey and is softball part of those plans?
Next year, it's really up in the air still. Varsity hockey is definitely an option. It's looking pretty good right now. Looking into college, I'm not sure if I get the opportunity to play hockey, then I'd love that, and something I've always dreamed of. Softball, I'd love to do that too, but I'm not sure if that's really a reality. But definitely I'll take what I can get.
Ryan, you're in a unique situation. You are a freshman, but yet you've played varsity hockey. What was the biggest transition for you going from, say, the youth leagues and even your travel hockey to suddenly being on the varsity team and, I guess, you know, playing with the big guys?
I don't know. There's a lot more pressure leading up to the games because you have, you know, more people watching you, and you kind of want to, like, impress the older guys in your team. You know, you don't want to be, like, the weakest link even though you are the youngest player. You want to, you know, play your best and try not to let anyone down. You know, give your team the best shot to win.
How were the other players? I mean, in general, when a younger player comes on the team to a varsity sport, how was it trying to break into the team?
It was pretty good. Some of the older guys, they kind of like took me in, you know. I made friends with some of the older guys, and they give you a hard time sometimes, but it's always fun. You know, it's always a good time.
Christine, what do you do, whether it's cheerleading or whether it's track? What do you do to mentally prepare yourself for your competition?
A lot of stuff, especially when it comes to track. That's a big, you know, eating right the few days before the meet, you know, getting to bed on time, waking up on time. It's really a lot of thought. Yeah, I like to, you know, get really nervous and really excited for my race. And that's when I do my best, when I'm really thinking about it and analyzing it. And I guess.
are you one of the athletes who you don't want to be talked to before your meet? Like you tell mom and dad, hey, don't talk to me. And then you don't really want to hear the coach either. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, that's true. I definitely get in the zone or what, you know, whatever. My teammates are always like, oh, you know, I guess I don't really like to be distracted before I'm ready to run. So
Ryan and Megan, you're both hockey players at the varsity level. You know, when I watch your games, it always amazes me. Megan is a goalie. You know, before that game, everybody's got to come up and slap their stick on your pads and everything. And Ryan, you know, playing for Webster, you do that for your goalie. But what does it do, Megan? I mean, are you in a zone too and you just want to be left alone, or do you like the encouragement from teammates?
I like the encouragement. You know, you don't really want to talk to somebody before the game, get distracted. But when you go out there and they're there encouraging you, it just gives you more motivation to, hey, I'm really going to give it my all. I got to be ready for this game.
Ryan, I already know the answer, I think, to this question, but how are you before a game? What do you like to have a coach talk to you, or would you rather just leave me alone?
I'm pretty loose before a game. So, it doesn't really matter to me. I just like a lot of positive energy going into a game. I don't like to be like too negative, too focused. Like, I just like to stay loose and have a lot of energy, excitement going into the game. It doesn't really matter.
And Christine had mentioned, you know, eating right before her competition. Ryan, what do you do before a big game, or for that matter, any game, in terms of your nutritional, practices?
Well, the night before, you know, you got to get a good night rest, obviously. And then you got to eat right the day before and that day. And, you know, the meal can't be too close to game time. It's got to be, you know, a certain time before. And that'll give you the energy for the game.
Megan, you've got, I don't know how many pounds all the goalie gear weighs. So my guess is you're probably not eating a whole lot of chocolate chip cookies and pasta before a game.
No, I got to keep it light, like a quick salad, maybe a little bit of pasta like 6 hours before. But, you know, not much before the game. You got to be ready, Gatorade, water. It all helps. Just eat right.
What do you guys do, any of you, what do you do during your competition, whether it's a game or running a track meet? Do you have nutritional things that you do, or is it pretty much wait till afterwards?
Well, I'm a little different because I have multiple events, you know, over a 5 or 6 hour time period. So I have to, you know, like maybe the meet falls during lunchtime or dinner time. So I have to snack here and there, but it's very little, and I don't really want to eat while I'm there. I mean, it's just like I'm in a game. I'm like focused. I'm not thinking about food. I'm thinking about running. And
yeah, it's just one of those things. Before game time, I always eat a peanut butter sandwich. I don't know why. It's just like I started doing it and I kept doing it. And I like to eat like a lot of protein on game day to get, you know, energy for the game. I just want to be as pumped up as I can.
And is that something that that you guys do on your own, or is that something that the coaches say to you, hey, make sure you're getting proper nutrition before a game?
It's really just what you do on your own. Coaches make sure you have stuff there for you. They have lots of water. If you need snacks, they'll bring them, but it's really up to you on what you have to do to be prepared.
Great. Well, this has just been a fantastic first segment on Youth Sports Now. A reminder to you that you can follow us on Twitter at Youth Sports Now 1, and our website is youthsportsnowradio.com. And when we come back, we're going to have an interesting conversation with these fine young athletes about training, about lifting weights, and maybe some of the things that their coaches said to them that they didn't like. We'll be back.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
I am Little League.
I am Little League!
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
It's been an exciting night of peewee hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Jim.
And now in the stands, two moms drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Smith's mom. Smith's mom gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Today, we are back on Youth Sports Now with some of the best and the brightest of high school athletes. We've got Christine Lytle, a senior at Canandaigua Academy, cheerleader and track star. We have Megan Browning, who is one of the goalies at Penfield High School, plays softball as well, and Ryan Wynn, who is a varsity hockey player and baseball player at Webster Schrader. Welcome back. Guys, we wanted to talk a little bit about coaching. That's part of the show's goal, is to tell the coaches what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. So I'm going to put you on the spot, no names, but give me an example of something that maybe a coach did in your younger days, if I can say that, that you may not have liked and that didn't really sit well with you. Ryan, why don't we start with you?
Something a coach would have said to me, say I'd be doing something like for a long time the same way, and then one practice he just tell me to do it different. That kind of angered me, because I'd be doing it for so long, and then all of a sudden he just wanted me to switch it that one day. Or when like one coach would tell me to do something, and then another coach would tell me to do another thing, but like it's about the same thing, so I wouldn't know which one to do.
Okay, good point. Christine, I see you nodding your head. What are you agreeing with Ryan, and maybe tell me something about something that happened when you had a coach say something?
I think that's true. What he's saying is the conflicts between, you know, one coach tells you one thing and another coach a different thing. So it's kind of hard as the athlete to maybe blend the two if you can, but oftentimes it's totally opposite. So it's tough. I think like coaching collaboration, like if they're on the same page, the better off the athletes are.
Megan, what about you?
One thing that probably bothered me the most was when coaches got stuck in their ways. Like they played like for hockey, the top two lines, you're like the starter. And if things weren't working, wouldn't change it up. Like if it's not working, you can't be afraid to mix things up a little bit.
Okay, good. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that has been so much in the news with youth sports. Concussions is certainly the biggest thing. And as I mentioned, we had the NFL's number one medical consultant for concussions. But it seems that there's a lot of injuries that take place. Christine, I've heard in cheerleading that a lot of knee injuries with the cheerleaders. Ryan, you're playing, you know, hockey and baseball, and we don't even have to get into the topics about sore arms and sore shoulders. And Megan, as a goalie, I can imagine you are probably on a years long prescription for Advil. But what are some of the things that you guys have seen with injuries? And more important, Have you or any of your teammates ever maybe not told a coach about an injury because you're afraid of getting benched at a young age?
I've seen a lot of my teammates get injured maybe before a big game or something, and they wouldn't want to tell coach. And depending on like how serious I thought it was, if I thought it was really serious, I'd make him tell coach or I'd tell coach myself. But, you know, like you never really, you kind of try to play through injuries if it's a big game. And, you know, you just want to win the game, so you do whatever you have to do. So.
Okay, Megan?
Yeah, I definitely see players hide in almost every game. Like, you can see them hurting, but when the coach comes in, then they're fine. Like, or they say they're fine. But probably the one thing that nobody really likes to hide or they shouldn't hide is a concussion. Like, that's the one injury that nobody wants to see their friend pretending to fake.
Christine, any injuries that you've had or teammates or other people on the track team?
I was concussed, or I guess it was junior year when I was in cheerleading. So that was kind of tough, but it was early in the season. We were stunting. We were doing some new stuff. So I fell from a stunt and hit my head pretty hard. So that took a toll, but it was cheerleading. So that's kind of like my you know, it wasn't track. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but my foot's hurting right now. I don't know what's going on with it. But my coach is a little crazy when it comes times for states. The state meet is this weekend, so I'm just trying to ice it and do the best I can to make it through states with what's going on right now. So,
Megan, would you ever, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you ever tell a coach, look, I'm hurt and I can't play, even though the coach is saying, oh, come on, you can get through it?
I would. It's a tough decision, but yeah, if you're hurt and you can't play, like I said before, with concussions, head injuries, that's probably the one where I wouldn't be afraid to talk to the coach, and I have done it before. Say, I got to take a week off here. With other injuries, I try and push through. I know you shouldn't, but you know, you want to play.
Ryan, what is the worry with high school sports with an injury that someone like yourself, you're on the varsity team, but you've got guys ahead of you? Do you get worried that you may be benched or you may be put, you know, inactive and ruin your chances for later on in sports?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of kids, including me, that, like, if you get injured, you know, you don't want to take a break or you don't want to get put on the DL because you could lose your spot. And then when you came back, it wouldn't be there. You'd have to, like, get it back again. And you don't want to have to go through that. So you just try, you know, to play through injuries. And if they're too serious, you tell coach, but, you know, otherwise just play through it.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about weight training. There's many a times where years ago, at least when I played, there was no such thing as weight training. You played baseball, you played football, you played hockey or basketball, whatever the sport was, and you went out there and you played. But today, you know, I look at various websites, I talk to high school coaches, and it always seems there's a weight room session, whether it's baseball, basketball, football. What's been your experience with weight room training, and is it something that your coaches talk about a lot and tell you have to do, or is it an optional type of training? Megan?
It's more optional. Like, they're not going to require you to go to weight room, but it definitely helps out. A couple summers ago, I went every week, a couple times a week, and got ready for the season, and it was perfect coming in. I wasn't tired at all. And this year, I didn't do so much, thought I'd be all right, and the first couple weeks of the season were a little bit rough. Like, took a while to get back into it.
Christine, with track and cheerleading, are there weight sessions?
Track is definitely, weightlifting is a huge part of track. You want to go faster, you lift weights, you get stronger, so that's definitely been a big part. And like you said, it's new. Like, my sister has run 4 years ago, and they didn't even hit the weight room. So, but that's definitely a thing that we do twice a week during the season. So it's a huge thing. All of our teams, as far as Canandaigua goes, uses the weight room on a regular basis.
Ryan, is the weight training something that is done that is, you know, sponsored or watched by the coaches, or are there, you know, times where, you know, guys are goofing off and there's the possibility of getting injured?
Yeah, they're watched by the coaches, but so every now and then, like, he's not in the room and there'll be a little bit like a goofing off, but it's always safe. I mean, there's nothing really, like, anything dangerous going on there, but yeah, usually he's watching and everything's safe and everyone's just trying to get better.
Megan, what about stamina? We talk a lot of times with youth athletes that their practices and their training sessions have a great deal of focus on stamina. How does it work for you as a softball player and as a hockey player? what do you do or what do your coaches do to make sure that, you know, you're not getting winded after, you know, three saves in a row?
With hockey, it's a little bit easier, I think, because every practice there's sprints, there's hard skating, and it keeps you in shape. Plus, you've got workouts in the off season. With softball, it's a little bit more difficult because you have to be fit to play, but playing doesn't really make you fit. So you have to really go out there on your own and run, do weightlifting, just make sure you're ready.
Christine, what about you? I can imagine that as a track athlete, you're always running and you're doing other competitions, but what do you have to do to keep your stamina up, and what do the coaches encourage you to do?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely stamina issues as we go progress through the season. You know, as especially now we're tapering, I'm not really running full workouts at this point. It's more starts and start drills and sprint drills. But definitely, like, when you come back from break or vacation, like, you gotta, you know, you gotta put the time in and kind of you get out of shape a little bit a week off. So you gotta really push it.
Ryan, with your sports, with hockey and baseball, you have your practice sessions, your training sessions, and you certainly have your games. What do you do personally to stay fit and to keep your stamina up for whatever sport you're going to play?
Personally, I do, like, you know, I do training away from the actual practices with the team. I do a little bit of weightlifting by myself, but going for runs, sprints, you know, anything you can do to stay in shape, especially after a holiday, you know, getting back into shape, because you don't do that and you come back to the first practice and, you know, it's just awful. So,
Megan, as a goalie, which I can't help it, but to constantly think that you've got a few different types of things that you need to do, which you did mention. But as a goalie, do you have to do anything different or special that other players don't have to do, whether you're in training or whether you're on the ice at practice?
The one thing, probably training itself, is you have to work on hand-eye coordination a lot more. The tennis ball against a wall drill, that's one of my big ones, what I do all the time, especially when in the weight room. On the ice, it's just a lot of stretching. Make sure you don't pull a muscle. It's really easy to do. Just a lot of mental stuff.
And so guys, I'll start with you, Christine. When you are getting ready for a competition or a meet, I can imagine that stretching is really important. It's one of my pet peeves with coaches that they let the kids go out and just either, you know, warm up real quick and then play the game or go into the competition. How important do you feel for young athletes that they have to do appropriate stretching before they do their games or their competition?
Definitely. Stretching is a huge thing when it comes to running and other sports in general. Stretching for running purposes, sprinting, is done after you do it. Static stretching is what you're talking about, like stretching your arms, stretching your legs out. That's all done after you run. If you do that prior to your race, it's you actually use less of your muscles because they've been stretched out. But definitely a huge warm-up, like a dynamics, we call it. It's dynamic. It's static.
Ryan, what about you? I know that with baseball, there's a lot of repetitive motion, especially as a pitcher. But what type of stretching do you do? And also, what have you seen with coaches in terms of not letting or not making the kids stretch before they go into the game?
Personally, I like to stretch a lot, especially for baseball, because you don't stretch your shoulder and your arms, you know, before practice, that you can get injured real quick. And you want to make sure you're stretched out for that. And I think the coaches most of the time do an okay job of making a stretch, but, you know, sometimes we don't stretch enough, and, like, you can feel when you don't stretch enough in practice. You can feel that you should have done a little bit more.
What do you guys think about having the stretching and so on being a mandatory thing that is almost done before every single game, but maybe you do it on your own? Is that something that you guys would be supportive of?
Yeah, definitely, because stretching is one of those things where you get ready for a game, you're pumped up, and you really don't want to have to sit down, or if you're doing static stretching and have to just take a break and stretch, but you really have to do it or else you're going to get injured, so having the coaches make you do it is really beneficial.
Well, I'm glad you guys agree with that, because in our next segment, we have our resident physical therapist, Mike Naparelli, from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, and he's going to have some tips for you guys, so stay tuned.
proudly conservative.
WYSL.
Rochester's home for America's morning show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. We're feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
It's been an exciting night of Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Jim.
And now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Spitz Mom. Spitz Mom gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance. Topics that support the well-being of your young athlete. Presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we're back with our Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment and our good buddy and friend Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Mike is our resident physical therapy expert and specialist. And, you know, Mike, we're here with our high school athletes tonight talking about youth sports, of course. And, you know, are there things that the way kids prepare, the way the young athletes for sports today, that contribute to the type of injuries that they see?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in one regard, I think that, you know, we've talked about this a little bit in the weeks past in terms of kids just getting overuse injuries. And that can happen from overuse in training. It can happen from just overuse in being in the same sport. But I think the other way that we want to think of this as well is when they go out to play that sport, is their body as prepared as it could be for the rigors of that activity, or have they just been playing the sport? And so one of the phrases that we would use is, are you training to play or playing to train? Some kids, some adults will go out and they're playing an activity and they do the activity to stay in shape or to get in shape or to have fun, and that's fine. But at a certain level, you know, especially for a high school kid or a college kid who's competing, and these kids are trying to function at a higher level, the idea of doing some training in advance, not just going out for your sport team and going to the practice and playing, but sometimes getting out there and actually doing some strength training, doing some extra flexibility work, doing coordination and balance and those sort of things. So an example would be, we want to be what we call functional training. We want to be doing things that mimic the body. We say, does it should look and it should feel and it should kind of smell like your sport a bit. So as an example, let's say, you know, you're a baseball coach. If we take a baseball player and we talk about, we want to get this kid better at throwing a baseball, how do we get him ready to do that so he doesn't get hurt? Well, if you had him practice throwing a shoe, how do you think it's going to look if he's, you know, then the next day you go out and play the game and he throws the ball in the game, how is that going to look? Well, what if we move to, let's let him throw a volleyball instead. I mean, it's still throwing. But it's still, you know, if we said, is that going to prepare him? We'd say, well, it doesn't really smell like baseball. It doesn't look like baseball. It's still, it's different enough to matter. And so a lot of times when kids go to strength training, we say, well, let's prepare them for performance and prepare them for preventing injuries. A lot of the ways that people strength train are sort of grounded back in that style of football lifting, bodybuilder style lifting. They may go into the club, and because there's a number of weight machines in the circuit there, you know, people get on the machines and they do what they do on the machines. The challenge is that that's sometimes kind of like throwing the shoe or throwing a volleyball in order to prepare for throwing a baseball. It's not close enough to help. It doesn't smell enough like baseball to help. And so when we train kids, young athletes, to prepare for their sport, we can certainly use basic strength. If we're talking about strength training, we can use basic strength training exercises. But very often we see a lot of high school sport athletes and even kids before high school who are beginning to do weight training, who are getting caught up in doing, for example, a lot of two-sided simultaneous moving exercises. An example would be like a bench press. It's a very popular exercise, but if you look at people in sport, how often does somebody need to push with both hands at exactly the same time at the same angle? You know, it's a football lineman is really the classic example, but besides them, there's the majority of sport examples don't really use their pushing or pressing movements in that manner. And yet we have kids who are being trained or preparing either themselves or from coaches by doing an example like a bench press with two hands moving at the same time, laying on a bench, but they're going to stand up in the game and their body's going to rotate. They're going to be using one arm predominantly, not both arms. And so that's a real important example, and we'll talk more about that with specific examples and maybe give some examples on the website as well. But that's one thing. And the other thing we touched on last week, in terms of preparing an athlete for sports, I think we've got to be really cautious about taking younger athletes. And let's say we get a hold of Syracuse University's program or the Buffalo Bills program. And so those sort of things are out there. And oftentimes young athletes, either through their coaches or through people they know, they get a hold of a program that's really meant for a kid. It was designed for a kid who's maybe 18 to 21 years old. And those 14 or 15 or 16-year-old kids start doing that same program. And I talk to parents all the time who ask questions about their kid. Hey, is this safe for my kid to be doing? And they have real concern because they hear the same thing. They hear, hey, they're doing the university's program. They're doing some team program that they found out the pro team was doing, or they read in the magazine, here's what T.O. was doing, or here's what Tom Brady was doing. And they try and do that workout, and it's really not meant for a kid their age. It's not meant for their body. We forget that those people have had lots and lots and lots of skilled training hours in the gym for years and years before they ever did that sort of a level of program. For a young kid, they're really excited about it. They think it's cool. They're doing something like, you know, the D1 athletes or the pros they aspire to. But those aren't really necessarily the safest things to be doing. So we really believe that younger athletes, even, and this could even be high school kids, even when I'm training college kids or dealing with them from injury care, there is so much to be gained by dealing with proper technique in their exercises first and not getting, you know, too hard with the loading of the drills first. And I think that's really a really big thing.
Mike, you know, I'm guilty of this in my coaching, as I always tell my pitchers and even my infielders, same motion. Give me the same motion every time. I mean, what is the difference between having someone do that repetitive motion and at the same time, you know, doing it for training purposes and always making sure that the performance is there?
Well, I think you're right. I think the key that you just said is quality. And that's a different way of saying is the performance there. Whether you're grooving a sport technique motion or you're trying to groove or habituate a weightlifting exercise drill or a plyometric drill or a speed or agility drill, quality is part of what you're looking for. Now, one of the differences with training to some degree is that we're not going to ask a kid who's, let's say he's swinging a bat and you're teaching batting technique, we're not going to ask him to really swing the bat in different ways because there is a certain form and a technique that's really optimal. There are some things in drills, plyometric drills, balance drills, reaction drills, even strength training drills, where having that adaptability is key. And so one of the things that we'll say to people is variability helps create adaptability, right? So if we create a little bit of variability in a drill, someone's not necessarily always grooving it in the same direction. They may do some little tweaks here or there, change the angle of their foot when they land on the lunge, reach their hands in this direction versus that direction when they land in their agility drill. That variability that was introduced to the system when they're training demands new things from the nervous system. And when the nervous system has to deal with those unique challenges, you start laying down new pathways and it starts learning and figuring out new ways of movement. Now when they get on the field, when it doesn't occur exactly the way they practiced it, they have that adaptability because they had variability in their training. They have the adaptability to deal with that. I think that's one of the other mistakes that can happen with training is that sometimes in the classic ways we think about exercise, there's only one way to do it right. And that's what we've been taught is there's only one way to move right. There's only one way to move right. And the challenge with that is if you really watch a videotape of people playing a sport, and I'm not talking about how you swing a bat. No one's swinging the bat from over their head to down at the ground. I'm not talking about that sort of variability. But when you talk about the way an athlete moves, how they have to react to a ground ball that jumps off the grass in an odd way, or a player who contacts them coming off of a pick unexpectedly and they have to make a sudden little move with their feet with an agility move that wasn't exactly the way they did it in practice. When you have strength and balance and awareness of movement and coordination, but you also have adaptability, odd, unique, different things can happen to you and you can survive and still perform at a high level and not get hurt.
Mike, in the remaining time we have together, quick questions for you. The difference between, you know, we hear physical therapy, so we always think that it's therapy, but at the same time, there are things that you can do with athletes for more of a training purpose. Can you describe that?
Absolutely. So when we see someone who's got an injury, in physical therapy, we certainly see people, obviously, our main role is we're handling someone who comes in with a sprained ankle or they had an ACL reconstruction or have a rotator cuff tendonitis, that sort of thing. And so there's injury care. And then there's a transition from for those athletes, when they get done with their injury care or they're transitioning in the later end of their care, we're taking them to higher levels of function. And that really is very similar to when we take a healthy athlete in the physical therapy clinic and we're doing performance and prevention work for them. And we're looking at what the demands of their sport are. We're looking at where their body's functional successes are, and we're also looking at where their limitations are. And trying to design a program that uses those successes but also challenges their limitations to try and take them to a new level. So when an athlete comes in for physical therapy, you know, our goal is to get them out as quick as possible back to their sport. This isn't about keeping them out as long as we can. So,
Mike,
we're trying to push that envelope. We're trying to be aggressive with them in terms of them understanding the need for their physical therapy and doing their things at home. And if we can get them through those early stages where they are taking care of their pain and their swelling and the protection side of, let's say, a post-op ACL, for example, then we can more quickly get them into the phases where now we're starting to, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel where they can see the movement they're starting to look like and mimic the demands of their sport. And so we're trying to take that to a higher level for them.
Mike, as always, I mean, just incredible information. We could do an entire half hour to an hour show on this information. Really encourage the listeners of Youth Sports Now to talk to Mike and give him a call at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. It's vital information. And Mike, once again, thanks for all the tips and advice that you give our young athletes.
You're very welcome.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
It's been an exciting night of Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Jim.
And now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Spitzbum. Spitzbum gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
I am Little League.
I am Little League!
We are Little League.
I am Little League.
I am Little League.
Sportsmanship, teamwork, character. Little League, big dreams. Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Are you ready?
We're back on Youth Sports Now, and I have to say this has been one of the most pleasurable shows we've had, and I'm thoroughly enjoying myself with our young athletes, the best and the brightest in our area, Ryan Wynn, Megan Browning, and Christine Lytle, all star athletes at their high schools, and we're just pleased to have them with us. During the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the things that happen in youth sports, and we want to talk to you guys about what happens when you're 10 or 11 years old and you get cut from that travel team or you get cut from, you know, a league that you really wanted to play in? What would you tell these young kids, Megan?
You just got to keep going because your time will come. You keep it up, keep the skills up, and you will get a chance at some point. It'll come at the most unexpected time, but you got to be ready for it.
Ryan, what about you? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been cut, but you were talking earlier about when you played basketball in sixth grade, that maybe it wasn't your sport. But what do you tell these young kids, whether it's soccer, baseball, doesn't matter, that, you know, they love the sport so much, but then they find out that they've been cut?
Well, I mean, when you get cut, like, your original, like, reaction is to, you know, get down. But you should do the exact opposite. You should use, you know, getting cut as, like, you know, wood on the fire, just getting you like more determined, you know, making you kind of want to work harder to prove people wrong, you know, get better, and then just come back next year and like, you know, prove everyone wrong, like make everyone think, wow, look at how far he or she has come.
Christine, what about you? I mean, what would you say if you had to sit down with that 10 or 11 year old player and after they've been cut, what would you say to them?
Keep trying. I definitely think it's worth another try and it's worth another go. And next season or, you know, whenever that comes around, it's definitely developmental. Like a lot of, you know, that's the age where they're all developing at different rates. And, you know, some kids are bigger and they make the team. And if you're smaller, you're going to grow up. So just don't give up.
Okay, great. Megan, what do you think is your next step? I mean, we talked a little bit about it briefly, but, you know, you are a junior. You've got hockey and you've got softball. What's next for you?
Right now, it's softball. Softball season, hockey's over pretty much. Got to focus on that. But with hockey, just take it as it comes because not really sure where things are going to line up with school or with travel. So got to see what my options are.
Do you ever see any of the skills being the same, you know, your hockey training and your softball training? Is there anything that crosses over or is it completely different mindset and a completely different skill set?
I think a lot of it's a lot different because hockey is more of a physical, athletic, or not athletic, but like aerobic sport. And softball, you have to really stay mentally in the game no matter what because you're going to go maybe 10 minutes without touching the ball and just got to still be ready for when it comes. But a lot of hand-eye coordination, and you just got to stay fit. Sprints are a big thing in both of them.
Ryan, you've got baseball coming up. How are you preparing for that, and what's next for you in terms of both baseball and hockey?
I'm just trying to get in my swings, you know, trying to get back in the groove for baseball because I haven't, you know, swung or thrown in a while. So I'm just having some early, like, team practices, maybe working a little bit off the tee by myself. And I think future for baseball and hockey, I'm just going to, you know, go as far as the sport takes me. I'd like to play college. That'd be nice. But, you know, I'll just go wherever it takes me as far as it can.
Christine, you are on your way to finishing off your senior year at Canandaigua Academy. And then you said that you're off to the University of Buffalo. What was it that made you pick the University of Buffalo? And also, what will you be doing there both academically and sports wise?
I'm going to the University of Buffalo. I just signed there. I was a little late on the signing period, but I was making my mind up for a while. So I just signed actually the beginning of this week. So that was exciting. I'm really excited to go there. I definitely think it was the coaches were a big part of my decision. The school obviously came first academics-wise. I'm going there to study political science. And the team, like the dynamics of the team, just like the relationships and the, you know, how the coaches related to the athletes was a big part for me. So,
well, good. Well, we wish you the best of luck at the University of Buffalo and also finishing out your year at Canandaigua Academy. Tough question, but have you guys ever had anybody, whether it's a parent, obviously not yours, but a parent or a coach, has anybody ever tried to squash your dreams? I mean, when you say you want to move on to college and maybe even, you know, pro sports or whatever, has anybody ever tried to squash those dreams, and how have you reacted, Megan?
I don't think anybody really does it on purpose. Sometimes everybody, when you say, oh, I want to go college, I want to go pro, and the first reaction is, oh, of course, go ahead, go try. But, you know, it's more indirect if anyone does, like, just not bringing it up again probably would be the biggest thing. Like, if you say, I want to go to college, and the coach doesn't bring it up ever again, or just kind of ignores you when they do say it, then it might be a little bit of a thing.
Christine, what about you? I mean, has anybody ever squashed your dreams? And if so, how have you reacted?
I've had some, you know, I had a really tough coach, Coach Diedrich. He passed away last year. But he was a really tough track coach. Just told me, he definitely told me to think about it. And that's part of the reason why my Buffalo decision was made, you know, kind of reluctantly, but I'm definitely super excited to go now. I'm 100% on it. But he was very, you know, think about running in track. It's a huge commitment. It's D1. That's your life. It's track and it's school, and it's school and it's track. So it's a big decision. So he was kind of, you know, but he didn't, squish my dreams or crush my dreams. So.
Okay, well, that's good. Ryan, I know you well enough to know that if somebody tells you you can't do something, you go out and do it. But, you know, have you ever experienced that where whether it's a coach or a parent or even just somebody, a spectator, says, you know, you can't do something?
Yeah. As Megan said, you know, nobody does it on purpose. But, you know, like, don't get your hopes up or something like that. Something like, you know, you're just not expecting like an opposite reaction. And I don't know, it kind of makes you mad at first, but then it just like makes you want to work that much harder to prove them wrong, you know?
Okay. Ryan, you've got an opportunity right now to talk to all those parents out there, the Little League parents, the Pee-wee football, the U.S., you know, the hockey. What do you want to tell as a young athlete? What do you want to tell the parents, whether it's good, bad, indifferent? What would be your comments to parents today?
Always be positive with them. Like, say they do get cut from a team, always be positive. Tell them to work even harder. Never, like, be negative about any of their dreams. Always influence them. Like, you know, try to get them to aim high, shoot high.
Megan, what about you? You know, obviously some of the same things that Ryan said, but What would you tell a parent who's looking at their kid and saying, well, you know, we don't have the finances to send you to this college. You've got to get a scholarship, or they're just not taking the sport seriously?
I'd say just take it as far as you can. Like we said before, don't focus on a specific goal. Like, don't say, I want to play in college. I want to do this. Like, that helps you be motivated, but just really focus on yourself and enjoying the time you have with the sport and see what you can do with it.
Christine, what would you say to parents? You are in a very unique situation. You've got the cheerleading as part of a team, but then you've got your individual skills with track. So what do you say to a parent who is pushing a child or an athlete into one sport or the other?
Mm-hmm. I definitely have been around and exposed to pusher parents or helicopter parents that like to monitor their kids and really push them to do what they want them to do. But I hate seeing that, I gotta be honest. And it really all it does is hold the kid back, and it really puts a damper on the kid's life as far as sports goes. So I really hate to see that. I've been lucky enough where my parents are do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy kind of thing. They're so laid back, and they just love to watch. And they love to see me be successful. So anything they can help me out with or anything they can do. But they're so positive and so good about that stuff.
Well, I thank you all for joining us on what has been a very memorable Youth Sports Now radio show. I encourage you to podcast this one. This is something you want to keep. And I hope that you've learned something from these fine athletes. And I cannot thank you enough. Megan Browning from Penfield, Ryan Wynn from Webster, and Christine Lytle from Canandaigua Academy. This has just been a wonderful show, and remember to follow us on Twitter at YouthSportsNow1, and remember to follow our website, which is YouthSportsNowRadio.com, and you can download the podcast of the show there, and we look forward to another great show next week. This has been Youth Sports Now. I'm Greg Camp.
This has been Youth Sports Now, Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete, has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance, and by McQuaid Jesuit High School, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.